Bohemond was eventually released. Instead of going to Antioch and resuming where Tancred had succeeded, he went back to Italy and raised forces with the intention of coming east and capturing Constantinople. He even bullied the Pope, Paschal II, we believe, into declaring this a crusade of sorts against Constantinople. He invaded Greece, as he had done back in 1085 with his father. Fortunately, Alexis was waiting for him. The Norman army was countered, checked. Bohemond had to retire. He didn't have sufficient forces. It was a rather desperate venture. In 1108, Bohemond agreed to what is known as the Treaty of Deval, in which he recognized that Antioch was under the authority of Alexis. That was a treaty Tancred never agreed to. Bohemond returned to Italy, died in 1111. His son and namesake, Bohemond, technically became prince of Antioch, but he was just too young to send out to the Levant. And so Antioch continued to be in the hands of regents, and the next regent that came in after Tancred was a fellow named Roger of Salerno, also related to the princely family. And Roger, unfortunately, was responsible for getting involved in a major battle with the leading a fellow named Ilghazi, who was in command of one of the main Turkoman armies on the Al Jazeera, an Artaquid prince. And he got into a major battle with him, which is called in the Latin and the medieval French the Field of Blood, June 28, 1119, in which the Norman knights were just slaughtered. This crushing defeat checked the fortunes of Antioch. And as a result, the then reigning king of Jerusalem, Baldwin II, intervened and essentially took over the running of the principality until the true heir, the rightful heir, Bohemond II, was able to be sent out to Europe and take over in his own right. Well, the peculiar political situations in Antioch had several effects. One is that while the principality was quite successful in expanding initially, it gained a lot of territory in northern Syria, it took over a lot of the Greek and Armenian cities of Cilicia, that ensured that the principality was forever on the hit list of Alexis I. These were regarded as imperial territories. These were direct violation of what Alexis believed were the agreements he had concluded back in 1097. So that Antioch was always going to be at loggerheads with Constantinople. Second, the princes of Antioch were Norman in origin. And that simply meant for Alexis, now that I have Normans in Italy and Sicily, why do I need them on my eastern flank in Syria and southeastern Asia Minor as well? And so that Antioch had became a major objective for Alexis, his son John II, and then his grandson Manuel I. It was important for the imperial government to assert its authority over Antioch. It was their area. It was the seat of a patriarchate. It was largely a Greek Orthodox population in the city. It had been an imperial city, and this becomes a major bone of contention between Crusaders and Byzantines ever after. Furthermore, in 1108, Bohemond, to be sure under coercion, had agreed that Antioch was somehow under the authority of Alexis. Tancred ignored it, Roger ignored it, future princes of Antioch ignored it. The only way to enforce it was for an imperial army to march in and do so. And as we shall see in later lectures, this is what later Byzantine emperors did, and it was at great cost that Byzantine emperors had to do so. Antioch also didn't emerge as the leading state for another important reason, and that was its leadership. The defeat in 1119 was just one of a number of ill-planned battles and raids. There were the princes in Antioch were often on very poor terms with the Count of Edessa. They didn't cooperate as effectively as they could be. And as a result of that defeat, so many Normans fell in battle that when the King of Jerusalem came in, there were numerous Norman heiresses about. And in order to provide husbands for these heiresses, so those fiefs could continue to produce, make knights available, those heiresses had to marry mostly French and Provençal knights and nobles. And as a result, the Norman quality of that principality was lost to some extent, and that's seen linguistically in a variety of ways. Antioch very much became part of the wider French-speaking world of Outre-mer.